The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Brew the pellet with the poisons in the vessel with the pestle, the chalice of the palace has the brew that is true.
It's night, and so it is at the Godfather of Internet Talk Radio, maybe Internet Radio altogether. That's me, Frank Atoll, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I am the Bard of Broadcasting. I am the Third Man, the Vegetable Man, King of the Web, Bard of the Interweb, the Difficult Historian. Oh, wow. Back again, on again, off again, in these waning years. Stay with us, Marla Martinson. Bye. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. This show now is officially opened. It's me, Frank Catolo. I know it wasn't last week either. What happens? The show used to be on religiously. I mean that in the number three definition of the word. Every Thursday night live. And then, wow, have there been some problems in the past 2 years, or have there been? You don't have to answer. You know exactly what I mean. Last week, it had nothing to do with this. It had to do with another digital breakdown somewhere related to me. So I was, well, related to me. It wasn't my fault, but it was, and it doesn't, you don't need to know this, all right? So what happened? Nothing. They didn't even run a repeat. I couldn't, and they didn't, because Phil Hong of SRN Media Works is, he's in Indonesia right now. because, you know, he went to visit his wife. Some, and it's a long story, but this has been a long story, and yet we continue with this long story. And on this evening, or afternoon, or morning, or whenever the heck you listen to this, because you can listen to it any possible number of ways, as you know, because we're on the cutting edge, aren't we? Yes, we're on the cutting edge, always have been. But we're going to have in a little while, not too much longer, stay by, Marla Martinson. I've been telling you about Marla Martinson and finally getting her name correct. Something about her last name is Martinson. It's that three syllable names that always get, you know, Livingston, Dr. Livingston, I presume, Dr. Martinson, I presume, right? Dr. Robinson, remember from Lost in Space? No, you don't, because you're too young. Well, we have Wake Up, It's Night, and the Hallelujah Trail is where... Anyway, Maul is here. Finish a sentence here and there. And this is going to be a spirited, if you'll excuse, no pun intended, as I said. CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com. If you don't know what's going on. And you do. I know. I've talked to some people and they said, hey, we loved that rerun. Well, they know it was a rerun. So see, that's what's good about running these classic shows as I do now and then, because I get requests to rerun shows inside of the show. I'll do a little bit of the show and then we'll go to the meat of a show that was very popular among another generation because we've been on so long, you know. And so I play that, and then I get great responses. Well, it was really great, that show about the Brooklyn tour and the dogs and the thing. So there are others. I have gotten more requests. Brain and Music Interpretations from April 21st, 2011. Oh, my gosh. We're going to do that. We're going to play that one sometime. This is all happening now as we move on into Y2K plus 18, okay? I'd love to do a show on the bullet trains. Oh, God, I saw this thing. What channel is that now? I get like 220 channels, and don't ask me to watch like 7 of them. But once in a while, something happens. You discover a channel you don't watch. Oh, this was the Smithsonian channel. Now, I being an asterisk in the Smithsonian Museum itself, an asterisk. See, I said that correctly. An asterisk. You know what happened is one time I said it having my Brooklyn tone and accent. I once said that. I used to say, and everybody in Brooklyn says asterisk. Asterisk. It's an asteroid with an ick, right? Asterisk. And the one time someone said it's not asterisk, it's asterisk. And I never said it incorrectly again. Because I listen to people. I'm not going to go there either. And I don't even like saying going there. I don't like the term going there. I'm not going there. I'm not placing myself in that territory. Where was I? I was saying these Tokyo trains. I saw this. It was a Smithsonian channel. Wow. The trains, these bullet trains. I would love to do a show on a bullet train. Now that technical ability exists to do that. I could do a show on a Japanese bullet train going like, are you ready for this? 268 miles an hour. That's 325 kilograms or whatever, however they kilograms. No, that's not speed, is it? Let's just do miles per hour. 168 miles an hour. Wow. That's a bullet train. These things are already 50 years old. That's amazing. It was the best thing I've seen on TV since they took off Howdy Doody, who I never liked. That's another story. I don't know if I'm going to do this show long enough to tell every story I possibly can. Hopefully not. Because there's too many stories. And I don't know which ones are actually good. You be the judge. That's why I'm rerunning some of these excellent shows that that some people have heard because they've been around long enough listening to this show, which started in the late 90s. Whenever, I don't know, look up, go to your Yahoo, Google, Excite. You know, Excite still exists. Go to these places and find out when the heck did broadband begin. That's what made this all possible. And we're going to do more shows, by the way, on the, not the history of interweb, internet, online broadcasting, alternative broadcasting, many names for it. Not on that, but on the, I guess, the death of, the death of it. It'll be the death of me yet, I guess. These bullet trains are amazing, but here's, I would love to do that, but we don't have the budget. We never had the budget. No one's going to give us the budget. Maybe one day, I'm sure somebody's done a podcast, because that's easy. You just record a bunch of crap and you put it on. We've been live for how many, come in, we've been live for many, 2 decades, okay? So I'd love to do a live show. But listen to this, the bullet, if you think the bullet, and maybe you don't, but I do, I think the bullet trains are amazing and how smooth and wonderful and how they work and the science behind them is terrific, even if you don't like science. But you know what they're going to have in like 2020 or 26? Or you know what they're building in Tokyo? In all of Japan, I guess, because I don't think they have a train that just goes in Tokyo's other cities and towns. They're building a train that goes faster than the bullet train. And this train does not run on tracks. Just soaking that in. A train that goes faster than 168 miles an hour and does not use tracks. A trackless train. It runs on magnets. I can't possibly explain this to you. I could, actually, explain it to you so that even I understood it. I could do that, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you that it lifts off the ground. It does not, because you can't go 168 miles with a giant steel thing that's right, because what would that do? It would spark and blow up, I guess. Or, I don't know. A train with no tracks. If I find out more about it or I find somebody who knows more about it, I will definitely get them on this show. How many times have I said that? You know what we should do? We should have a list. I should have a list, but I don't have a list of anything. I've been flying by the seat of my pants on this show since I stopped calling it a program, because we used to call it a program. A lot of people said, well, you're in a program. It's not a program, because the definition of program means that there's planned things and everything goes as planned. And even when we have a guest, nothing goes as planned. It's all ad hoc. It all just moves along that way. So the Tokyo bullet trains, yeah, you know what you could do? Because again, YouTube, what's free on YouTube is still amazing that it's free. This is why we're sitting here starving, as we always did, because we're free. And you know what I have here? I have a bottle. This is the most amazing thing in the world. It's called Rain-Kissed Leaves. Rain-Kissed Leaves. It's a white body lotion. And for some reason or another, nothing wants to come out of this little bottle. Ah, there's a little something. Cause I'm thinking maybe I could, my hands are, there goes some. Oh yeah. Here's the sound. You don't hear that on the other guy's shows, huh? You don't hear them do that stuff. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title show. You want to know more about me? Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com or just Google my name and, you know, don't waste a lot of your life reading that junk. Just move on. Move on to, where would I move on to, Frank? Why don't you move on to Amazon again, buy some of my books? Why don't you do that? Hey, this stuff smells great. You know what? It does smell like rain-kissed leaves. Wow. Why was this stuff? You know, I found this in the studio here, just sitting on a shelf. Why? Someone must have put it down here. No, it doesn't have to have been. Many people have walked through this place. Many people have sat here. Many people have worked and recorded here. So it could have been anyone. But nobody ever called me and said, hey, Frank, you didn't happen to find a small bottle of Rain-Kissed Leaves body lotion, did you? No, I did not. Because until now. And I'm not, you know me, I don't advertise things unless they give us something for it. But I'm just unless we love it and it just doesn't matter because there's no way, you know, they're going to do it. But this stuff smells great. I wish you could smell it. But we can only do so much. It's radio. It's still radio. Even though it's not, by definition, radio. It is broadcasting. So we're going to do shows from April. Let's see, where else are we going to do them? You know, I'm telling you this because you're going to want to hear some of these. You'll forget. But you could go to, you know, it wasn't long ago we did Ants on Caffeine. Hey, Ants on Caffeine, we could rerun that one. That's, even though that's recent. Because, you know, we don't have to go deep into the files to find great shows. There are some great shows that have been here. And I'm talking about shows, I'm not talking about guests, guest shows. Because, I don't think that's fair to rerun guest shows. Did I? Yeah, it is. Okay, it is now fair. I will here and there rerun guest shows. I gotta get Karen Wyatt back. Dr. Wyatt, where are you? I gotta get Karen Wyatt back. We have to talk. What else we have? Wait. Where are these? I said the brain and music interpreter, we're gonna do that. Where's the other ones here? I had a whole bag of them. They're here, right here. What do we have here? We go back to 2007. I love this one. Roller Derby. Wives and mothers, women's roller derby clubs around America. Now remember, I don't know if some of this stuff exists or not. We were supposed to go, listen to this. Of course, you're listening. What else are you going to do? Dance to it? Listen to this. We had this roller derby show, the women roller derbies. And we did this show. I did this show. I say we because that's just a collective thing that people say as if there's, I have no staff. Listen to everybody in the room. Nothing. Me and a water pump and a furnace. We wanted to go to one of these and do it live from some roller derby club that they have somewhere here. And they wouldn't let us do it. I said, what are you talking about? I said, what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the first internet broadcasting show, talk show. The first. You know, actually, that's not true. It's the first that was because there were some people talking here and there. They were tests, right? I said, I'm talking about this show that's been on for how long? The show that had faith in brick and mortar radio and in major media broadcasting and was disappointed and shunned. Okay. They wouldn't let us go. I also got to go back to 2000. If I could go back to 2006, I want to get Alan Watts' son of Watts, Mr. Mark Watts. Those of you who know or have ever read Alan Watts, Eastern philosopher in the West, introduced. Anyway, you can go get his books at Amazon too. Why don't you do that? You know what you should do? Let me tell you what you should do. You should get yourself, because I know you have a phone, an iPhone, smartphone, Android smartphone, whatever you have, or a tablet or a tab. You should get yourself together like, you know, $30-$40. And you don't realize how many books, digital books you could buy and what great moments you can have reading. What do I have to do? Do I have to? I have to tell you how important this is in your life. I don't care how young you are or how old you are now. I didn't want to end in R. And ultimately, so you could do that. So, and another one, what's the other one? Phil Margo, speaking of guests, right? The guy who was with the Tokens? No, that wasn't the Tokens. I forgot the group already. They did The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Remember groups in those days? The Bile Tones. Tones. The Mild Tones. The Tokens. The Playthings. And they had names like those days. What do you know? What was it today? They said you gotta call yourself, if you can't call yourself a millennial unless you voted. No, wait. If you didn't vote in the last election, they were trying to set this up because there were people out there calling themselves millennials. Millennials are already moving on. We got Gen X now. Generation X. Okay, what else? You know what to do. Go to Lulu, too, and get my books. They're all available in digital. And, of course, Molotov Memoirs. Book one, and book two. We're going to be talking one of these weeks to Peg Robinson, who is, still is, I mean, a good friend of mine. Peg Robinson is a director and a production person. Production person, I don't know what that means. That means she produces, but she's in the movies. And she's been in the movies for ages. And seeing the funny papers. She'll be, she's involved with this movie that is, you know, right, heading right for an Oscar here in 2018. It already has tons of awards. The Three Billboards and a Guy Named Sue. What is the whole title of that? Three Billboards in Macon, Georgia. No, Three Billboards along the Highway 22, whatever. Just call it Three Billboards. For Peg, we're talking to Peg. I think that's going to win the Oscar. If you want to know what's going to win an Oscar, or you care or whatever, or you just want to have some fun with the whole thing, and you're listening live on this Y2K plus 18 February. No, it's March. What am I talking about? It's March. And what was I talking about when I met? Wow. What? Valentine's Day is gone. What am I talking about? It's March. Coming in like a lion, by the way, if you're on the East Coast or the West Coast. Coming in like a lion. So what did I just say? I said, if you're listening live on this particular evening, and many of you do, many of you also don't, you go over to juicetalk.com during the week and then you play it. Or you listen on True Talk Radio repeats. I'm on twice a day on True Talk Radio. Did you hear me last week on the Howard Silberger show? I was there. Hey, they said, you know, I love Howie. Don't call him Howard. He's Howie, you know, up there in Montreal. They love us in other countries. What are other countries? Other countries you're not involved in, like now. We're going to be moving on. Oh, and I said, if you're listening, then the special, Oscar special, at Savino Veritas, featuring, and I forgot one of the guy's names, I'm sorry. Tom, everybody. But Jeremy Long, who is an associate of mine, and who some of you may remember if you were here long enough, was anything. He was co-hosted for like a year. No, maybe not a year. Maybe it was a... what's it matter? It's over. It's now. Now matters. Now and rain-kissed leaves. Body lotion. Where does this come? Where does this originate? See? See what I do? You know, if everybody did that, we'd all speak so well. I'm taking notes and kicking ass. Is that what it is? No, I'm taking notes and I'm giving tests and taking notes and I'm giving quizzes. Maybe if I go here, man, let me move the mic and go into the light. Go, keep, go, follow the light. Go into the light. Here, it's a signature collection, Body and Bath and Body Works. There's a 1 fluid ounce of this. 29 milligrams. I guess that's milligrams. And nothing on the back. Just one. And so we know who made it. Nothing. Rain Kiss Leaves Body Lotion. You know where I think this... I know why I have this. I think I have this. I should look in my carry case when I go on the road. When I, you know, these are the kind of things you take from hotels. They know you're going to take them. But you think that if they knew you were going to take them, they'd do some marketing. Like they would put on the back, you know, a sticker that says this is from the Hollywood Hilton or the Nebraska Skyline Hotel or the, I'm just making up names of hotels. I don't know. But they don't do that. So you get a thing, you hold it and the thing sits there. It's non-identifiable except it's from Bath and Body Works. I love this smell. I'm keeping this, but what am I going to do when it's gone? There's not even a number here to call and get any more. Rain Kiss. Maybe I'll ask Marta. Marta? Who's Marta? Marta's a friend, the wife of a friend of mine who is from another country. And when is another country but a country in which you don't live? Remember, if you're living in Japan, I am in another country. That's how it works. And the language is all, I wonder if in foreign languages, I don't know that much about them. I know little pieces of foreign language, but I wonder if people abuse French and abuse Japanese and abuse forms of Japanese like Korean and abuse forms of Spanish like in Puerto Rico and Mexican. He says he speaks Mexican. It's Spanish, but it's Mexican Spanish. Just like in America. in New York, they sound different and speak differently than they do in, hello, in, oh, let's see, I didn't turn the phone, hey, don't send me, when I'm on the air, don't send me emails. Meanwhile, when I just shut the darn thing off, right? I don't know how to do half of these things. You should see me with my Android. I'm all over the place. Okay, so who's Marla Martinson. Love yourself, love your life at marlamartinson.com. I don't often take suggestions from Jiggy Jaguars, you know. because I said it's like, 10 times every 2 days. It used to be. It's stopped now. He'll say, hey, you want to be on the Frank Cotullo, you want to be on Cotullo Chronicles? This guy is blah, 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 And you know what happened? No, you don't, if you didn't hear it. They called me legendary on the Howie Silberger show. And I, of course, jumped up and said, no, do not do that. I don't, you know how I am with that word. Let's go back to what we're going to do here shortly. We're going to be talking to someone who shoots an arrow of love on a daily basis. What is it like to be a professional matchmaker these days? A real person, not just an algorithm that gets somebody's name and what they like to eat for breakfast or what they like to walk on the beach or jump on a mountain or off a mountain and they connect to people. Not that. Which is a book and a number of other things. And I forgot exactly where she's located. It doesn't matter to you because you're going to be listening to this right now. I'm going to be calling her on the old Skype and she's going to be talking about any number of things. She plays Cupid. That's just what they call it. You know as well as I do that's just what they call it. My name is Frank Cotullo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. So now you got everything straight. You're going to stay here. I'm going to get Marla on the Skype and we're going to talk throughout the show about any number of things involving this. And then I'm going to tell you where to get a hold of her services and her books and everything, because she got books too, not just me. Go to Amazon, you can get Marla's book. We'll talk about Marla's book, talk about Marla's inspiration and everything else. That's coming up. I made it sound like I'm Leo. That's coming up after this. I made it sound like it was, I'm on CNN. That's coming up after this. I'm Wolf Blitzer. I was working. I'm terrible at imitations. But I was working on... No, I'm not even going to work on it here. What I'm going to do is call Ms. Marla. Marla Martinson. I love her thing. It says, feeling creative on her... only she's waiting exactly for the 30. I said, I'll call you at 9:30 Eastern. I should always say, see, I'm like that. Other people aren't like that. At least other people I get in touch with aren't like that. Certain other people are like that because they know. So I try to be precise. I try to be exact. I try to write people back. I try to respond. I try this stuff. And what good does it do me? I'm the third man. I'm always there. What else are we going to do? Anything else? So why don't you write to me, fcotolo@yahoo.com. Tell me if you've heard a show or heard of a show that we've done that you'd like to hear repeated. Not from top to bottom. We find the best part of it. We don't edit, though. We don't do any of that stuff. And we'll play it. Let me see if Marla's here yet. Because it's ringing. It's the very famous
Hi.
Oh, hi, Marla. Is this Marla?
Hey, I'm just putting on my headphones. 1 second here.
Okay.
Hey.
Marla's putting on her headphones. I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't precise, was I? I'm early.
You are maybe 30 seconds early, yeah. Which I love.
Okay, that's good then, because I was just saying I usually wait, but I have some of these people who are regulars once in a while, and I tell them, I say, look, I'll call you,
right?
And then while I'm, and then I do, you know, the first half hour, I do all sorts of little junk and stuff. And then they call me.
And then they call you?
Yeah. And then I get these people who I don't want to talk to ever again who find out and I got to block them.
Yeah.
Marla, I got lots of questions and I'm really fascinated. As I was telling everyone here, very rarely does Jiggy Jaguar, Mr. James Lowe, but very rarely does he give me a person who I really want to have on the show.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that because of any particular reason. I'm not trying to get on your good side. I don't even know if you have a good side. I'm just trying, you know. But I'm fascinated by this because I'm fascinated by it because I don't know what I believe or understand or about it at all. And if you're a professional, this is what really drives me nuts. A professional matchmaker is, right? It's like someone who does something that they love and do and makes a living at it, I think deserves time. So in other words, I don't just, Jiggy says, hey, this guy just wrote a book about, AC/DC current and how it can be turned into, you know, British amps. He has a book. He has a book and he wants to be on your show. So he has a book and they want to sell it.
Everybody's got a book now. Everybody's got a book. Well, you know what, Frank? Why I'm especially excited to be on tonight.
Hi.
Because
can't
it's
imagine.
A full moon. It's a full moon.
Oh, you know, last night I wondered. I came home. I drove home with somebody and they went, why is it so light out? And they said, it must be the, I don't know if it was the first night or second night. I wrote a short story once that was published a long time ago called The Second Night of the Full Moon because I had heard, because somebody had told me it was about how that's the real bad night. It's not the first night. It's the second night. I don't know if that's a, probably.
Okay, well, we're on the first, so we got the good night then, you and I.
Probably one of those, I don't know where these things originate, and because there's so many, you know, so many different, fables and legends, and, that's why I read Joseph Campbell. But let's go to Marla. First of all, can I just ask you a thing, and we'll talk wherever we go is fine, right?
Yeah, I'm open. Wherever we go is great.
Okay. Let's do this. You're a professional matchmaker. Now, this profession does go back a long time.
Yeah, it does. It goes back. But then I think it faded out somehow a little bit, you know, at least in our culture. And then it picked up steam again after, you know, in the 2000s.
I guess it was, is it Fiddler on the Roof? Is that where the song originated?
Right.
Matchmaker. Who is that? Hello? Look at this. I just lost. see? Maybe she took her headphones off. Let me try to call her again. It just dumped. The phone call failed. What happened to Marla? It's a full, see? She talks about a full moon. This is the good night. And what happened to Marla? Call failed. Here she comes. What was that all about?
I guess that was the full moon.
I was just saying. What? Did yours tank or did my tank?
Yeah, I think it was mine. I opened it back up. So, okay. I think, all right, we're good. So yeah, it was Fiddler on the Roof that was, brought that matchmaker song into. But when I started matchmaking, like in 2002, it wasn't a popular thing yet the way it is now. And, people used to, I remember one gal when I said, she asked me what I do. I think I was somewhere at a party or something. I said, I'm a matchmaker. And she goes, oh, you mean you work in a factory or something and you make matches? She thought I made like matches, you know, to light a candle with or something. And, and I said, no, I match singles with their soulmates.
And she hung up because she smokes and she wanted to find a cigarette.
She went to get a cigarette.
Okay, so what now in those days, of course, in the old days or in the days of Fiddler on the Roof in that time, of course, people needed to find other people. There were arrangements. A lot of families arranged marriages based on dowries and right and caste or position or what has stations.
Yeah.
But okay, so now the century turns over, and you are where, and that you say, like, you know what I think I'll do? How do you know you have this talent for doing this? And then tell us more about the talent for doing this in terms of, how productive is this?
Right. Well, I didn't. This was a fluke. It's very interesting. So I'm also a very woo-woo gal. I'm very into the spiritual.
Woo-woo gal. You know, wait a second. I haven't woo-woo. Heard. Wait. Wait, I'm writing this one down. Is that two O's?
Yeah.
Woo-woo gal.
W-O-O-W-O-O. I've got my crystal skull, Nigel, right next to me here. We're working together tonight.
A crystal skull? Is that one like in the movie?
I don't know. I didn't see that movie.
You didn't see the Indiana Jones movie?
Oh, okay. So long
it's not that kind.
Okay.
So you got a crystal. Okay. So you're also.
So anyway, so
a woo-woo really, gal. Okay.
Yeah, it's woo-woo. It's very magical what happened to me. So I was I moved to Los Angeles in the early 80s at the age of 19 to become an actress from Seattle, Washington.
I lived in L.A. Where did you live in L.A.? I was in L.A. in the 80s.
Well, now I always lived in the Hollywood area, but now I'm in the San Fernando Valley because my husband and I bought a house here in 2011. When the real estate crash came, we got a great deal. So we moved to – now I'm a Valley girl, but I was always on the other side of the hill. And I always said, I would never live in the valley. I would never move over that hill. But yeah. when you want to buy a house and you don't have over $1 million, you come to the valley. So here I am.
So you were kicking around L.A. That's, I worked in L.A. a long time. But go ahead.
Yeah. So in the 80s, I was doing TV commercials and this and that. But to pay my bills, I worked in the restaurant industry. So for 20 years, I not only in LA, but most of the 90s, I was in Chicago and I was also doing TV commercials. And then I was working in restaurants. At one point, I was married to a French chef and we opened a restaurant with some people in Chicago. So I was really in the restaurant business a lot. And it was never my dream. I never wanted to do it. And, I just had to make enough money and to work evenings to keep my days open for auditions and all of that. And finally, when my father had terminal cancer and I moved back from Chicago to Los Angeles because he was in Southern California, and then he passed away very, very quickly. I was here. I had given up my apartment, given up my job. I was just all alone, like this little waif at 39 with my little 3-pound teacup Yorkshire Terrier, Daphne. And I was sitting on my stoop, and I had little jobs here and there, little acting gigs and different things, but just kind of scraping along, and my money was dwindling. And I said, I said, Marla, you better go get yourself a job. Go find a restaurant job. I could not get my butt off my front stoop. I said, I cannot put on a waitress apron one more time. I had 20 years. I had it. It was like, it's not my dream. There's got to be something else, some other talents inside me, something else I can bring out and utilize. But all I had wanted to do was act. And so I was, had met my now husband. We were just dating, and he introduced me to a friend of his who was taking over the management position at a video dating service in Los Angeles called Great Expectations. And she said, Marla, I need some people. You can work the front desk. You can make the videos, and you can still go on auditions. It could be part time. And by that time I'd moved in with my, now husband. So he says, you don't have to worry about paying rent right now or anything. Just, get yourself together, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't need to make a lot of money, and I was working this part-time job at the video dating service, and I loved it. I felt like a movie director. I was asking the guys what they wanted in a woman. I was asking women what they really wanted in a man. I was getting all the secrets. They were opening up to me and telling me, and I was helping people. And then from there, I went and started working at a high-end Beverly Hills matchmaking service. And the thing was, I thought, I better keep notes, because I'd always wanted to be a writer since I was a kid, too. And so I said, I'm getting a lot of information from these singles that, people might not know about. So I started taking notes, and I did end up writing a book, 2 dating advice books, and then after that, 3 memoir. Mm-hmm. But so I was in the matchmaking bit. Then I was at the Beverly Hills matchmaking service for like millionaire matchmaker type for 7 years. And then in 2009, the recession happened and everything. And I ended up walking out on that job. And it was kind of a take this job and shove it moment. I just did that, and didn't expect to stay in the industry. But couple months later, guys started contacting me, tracking me down, and wanting to work with me. And so I opened my own little boutique service, and I have a business partner. And so we've been, you know, I've been doing it on my own since 2010. So it's 17 years later. Here I am.
Wow. were those the places where people would show up and they do a video of themselves and they talk?
I was actually the videographer. So what it was it was a video dating service. Uh-huh. This was before we were really online.
I remember those places. They'd come in
and they'd get their picture taken by a professional photographer, and then we'd create their profile, and they'd go into like this library, and people could come in and look through the books of the singles. Mm-hmm. And then if one of them caught their eye, they would go into another room and then put in the VHS tape and look at their video, which I had recorded, had done.
That's like ancient now. I mean, a lot of people, I know,
it's ancient. They used to come after work and they were tired. And one woman used to come in, this Italian girl named Anna. She says, "I'm here to do my night job looking for a man." And, it was fun. It was fun though.
Yeah. That was a real trend at one time, as I remember.
It was in LA. Well, and it was nationwide, but it's so interesting because so you know how humans are, like now we have Tinder and stuff where people will be swiping and looking at pictures. Well, what they do back then was they knew that the new members were in the last, like let's say I was a new member, so I'd be in the M book and I'd be the one of the last profiles in the M book because I'm new. They just put me in. So they would go to each A, B, C, whatever, and then look at the last profile. So those are the new people because they wanted to see who was new. And then they'd of course pick out just a few people would get all the requests because the hottest women, which there weren't many there would get all the requests.
But this is what was great about that. And we're going to talk about this too. You know, the number of fakes and the number of fakes. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is on these various sites. We've done a number of shows about it. And one time I got rejected. I literally got rejected. I think it was Match. What's the one they'd always do on commercial? Is that Match.com?
Harmony.
That was it. Harmony. Are you Harmony or whatever it is?
Yeah.
eHarmony. They said, you can't be on here. And literally. And they said, you can't be on here, because of your profile. I was just perfectly honest with them. I guess that's not what they wanted. and of course I was doing this for this reason. And what they did after that was keep me on the mailing list and continually send me, coupons to join.
Right. Well, Frank, you were too frank for them.
But that it's such a sham. You're a real person, so you know you're talking to a real person, right? I mean, this is how you do it. You're going to explain to me how you do it, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll explain to you.
Because you can't trust any. I mean, any. And I've been playing with this for a long time. Because I'm the person who broke the story of the Nigerian email scam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, way back.
I've got a lot of letters from those.
Way back, you know, we've had everything. We've done shows on how we've carried on these people, like went along with them to try to, you know, completely make them crazy. Yeah. But I mean, the internet is just a breeding ground for all this stuff. And now there are still a number of social medias aside from like Facebook and stuff, which are for friends or what have you. There are dating places that are, they're shams. You don't, in other words, there's no real people there. Now, when someone comes to you, they go to your website, right?
Yeah.
What do they do?
Well, the men are our paying clients. So we're very boutique and small. And so the clients that we have are more affluent men. They're the CEOs of companies, doctors, lawyers, TV producers.
Really? These kind of people go hunting for relationships?
Well, they're very busy and a lot of them travel a lot. They have, but they're bi-coastal. Like I have one guy who is constantly traveling for his work, and so they don't have time to sit on the internet or go out to mingle. Nice. And they'd like a quality woman, and they're quite selective, and so they will hire us. It's a lot. It's kind of a luxury item because we're pretty pricey, but we scan. We do, you know, all the screening and everything, and then all they have to do is show up on the date.
Well, so if they don't have time, if they don't have time for to explore. When they go out, finding a woman, what good is getting a woman that you're going to leave and run around and not see anyway? I mean, what are the, looking for a relationship?
Also, Frank, it's not just time. It's that we do offer a very high level of gals that are not only beautiful physically, but also sweethearts and to get, have their act together.
Yeah, I'm talking about the guys. I'm not even talking about the girls. I'm talking about the guys.
Well, but that's why the guys join, because they know the caliber of the women that we have. Uh-huh. And, they don't have to ask somebody or find, what if they go out with a gal, they're allergic to cats, she's got three cats at home, she still wants kids, he doesn't, you know, they don't, all they have to do is all of those things are taken care of. They know that we've got all those bases covered. The girl has everything they want on paper, and you just have to see if there's some chemistry there.
Are most of these men single, or are they divorced, or is there
all of it? I mean, some are widowers, some are divorced, and some have never been married. So
you got a blend of high, but you're saying high powered, not players. They're
wanting a long-term relationship or marriage. That's all we.
All right. So there you go. All right. That's gonna cut down some.
Right. If they just want to be a player, they can go on one of the internet sites or whatever. We don't do that. You know, I mean, what woman's going to want to, if we call her up and say, hey, I've got this guy, you know, but he's not serious about a relationship.
Sure. You're a matchmaker. You're trying to
they're going to say, forget it. So.
I don't think you can quickly go. I don't think you could go on many of these other ones and just find dates, you know. But anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how you do it and how it's successful for these people. Okay, so they come in. So what do? They fill out, got a whole bunch of forms.
I'll meet with the guy, whether it's at his, you know, in person, or if some, you know, they're in another state, I'll Skype or FaceTime, and then I will talk to them and get to know them and create a profile form. But at that point, my business partner's already spent a lot of time with them on the phone, finding out what they want, finding out about them, if they're even a good fit for us, because we don't take everyone. We turned down a guy yesterday because he was too picky.
Give me a too picky. What do you
think? Well, he wanted only, the woman could never have been married before. She couldn't have any children. She had to be of a certain short height range, under 30. He was only in his 30s, but just, it was too difficult. And then we sent him a lot of photos of some of the women we had, and none of them were good enough. And these were gorgeous girls. Oh, and she couldn't have fake breasts, and on and on and on. And he didn't make a ton of money. He was a shorter guy. So, you know, it was just, we said, look, I don't think we can do anything. We don't want to take anybody's money if we can't help them. If we don't feel that we could have some appropriate matches that would be mutual, then we don't want to take them on. It's not worth it, you know.
So I'm always amazed at from the studies I've done and from some of the experiences I've had, I'm amazed at how many, well, obviously women, you can go out with men. That's not the point. I went out with women, and I was shocked at how particular women can be about a man. Not the other way around. Like, it's like, I'm choosing them. No, would they have? So when you talk about this guy having a particular, I think men are going to be way more liberal, aren't they?
No. When they're paying thousands of dollars for a service, they want a girl that looks like a model. She better not
I want someone gorgeous who's going to stay with me and marry me, and what's the lure for her? Money?
Well, our guys are nice looking as well, and they're, we don't take people, you know, like, we don't have any smokers. Most people are active and fit, you know, nice looking. We don't take anybody like, you know, the, hideous, the creature from the Black Lagoon, you know? We've got a really nice group. I love my guys. They're great quality, nice looking guys. Maybe everybody doesn't look like a movie star, but you know, they're good catches. And, so the girls are happy to meet our guys because they're quality. They've been screened. They're looking for long-term relationship. Right. They're successful. They've got something going on. A lot of girls out here in Hollywood, they say, Marla, I'm tired of dating broke musicians sleeping on their friend's couch, or, you know, I'm tired of paying a guy's bills or supporting somebody, or I'm tired of dating the players. So they like it, you know, to be with us or to be with other matchmakers, because we're kind of like their big sister who's looking out for them.
And they trust these women.
Yeah.
Trust that you're dealing with people who are serious about what they say. Do you have to throw people out afterwards? Do you get people, men? Let's face it, they're men. They're going to come out. How many liars and cheaters do you get, right? You must have guys you can't see. You don't see them coming, right?
Well, by the time they sign up with us, no, but we've had guys that, we had a guy, I don't know what his deal was, but he was playing us, my partner was trying to do the sales process with him, he texted with me, he said he was had been a pro baseball player, and all of this stuff, and I told one of my best friends in New York, Louise, about this guy. I said, oh my God, he played for the, I forgot which baseball team, man. She could rival any man in sports. She knows she could be a sportscaster. She knows everything. And so I said, and she goes, Marla, this guy's lying. He was never a player. She looked him up. She'd never heard of him. And I said, what? How could that be? And he was just, and then he had two profiles, like Facebook and Twitter, with different names, different things.
See?
But the thing is, why did he waste his, and told us, oh, I fly private jets, and I'll come into Van Nuys Airport and meet with you. And I'm like, what was his purpose there?
His purpose was to get away with it and probably find,
mess with our time or something. I don't know. But yeah, he never joined.
So obviously everybody's going to get some, but you probably don't go anywhere near the percentage of these online website ones.
No, I mean, he never joined, but that was before. But like, they don't even join, but we find out they're whatever, just playing around, and then we just delete them, you know. We're like, don't call us anymore.
So this goes on, you and your associates, how do you advertise?
We don't, Frank. We've been so blessed. It's so magical. We just get, referrals.
Good. That's good then, because
word
of mouth really works here. Marla Martinson's with us here on Cotola Chronicles. And you really felt like you had you found your calling, when this happened. Okay. So what about, how does all the other stuff play into it? And then I want to talk about your book or books, but.
Books.
I know, I got books too. How does all this other stuff, how does this woo-woo stuff fit into it?
Well, I'm also a Reiki practitioner, which is energy healing. I love studying all of these kind of modalities, and I love the healing aspect, because I have a little studio at my home and where I work, and I have all my crystals and my tools and my table, and people can come over. I had somebody come over last night, a woman and single woman, and she had an energy healing. And I like working with the heart chakra, infusing really good positive affirmations. We might do some, you know, maybe some angel readings, and connect with the guides, and people need healing, and it's a very important aspect of loving yourself. Like we were talking about earlier, people have this list. They've got to be 6 feet tall, or the guy's got to be rich, or they've got to have this or that, and they're swiping and looking for the better deal. Well, when we're looking for something outside of ourselves, it's never going to happen. Our real own true soulmate is really ourself, and we have to come from self-love, loving ourself, being happy with our life, being happy inside our body, being grounded, coming from a place of power. And that's when we're going to be very attractive. That's what makes people attractive. When you're around somebody who's desperate, who's down, who's needy, it repels you. But when you're around someone who's really happy and loves their life and loves themselves, you just want to be around them more. So you don't have to be the best looking person in the world. You become very attractive and magnetic.
So
when you come from that.
So what are your influences in this particular portion of your life?
I've studied with a lot of different healers and teachers, and I started studying metaphysics way back when I was in my 20s with my first book called The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Scovel.
Oh, wow. Florence. I've talked about Florence on this show. Yeah. Years ago, I was talking about that. Yes. Because a friend of mine. Well, anyway, I don't want to go into that. A lot of people don't know that book.
Florence Scovel Shinn wrote that book in 1925. Yeah. She's a metaphysician, I believe, in New York, and she was very. She has a few books, and there's a lot of affirmations, and it's all about like really the law of attraction and using your affirmations and your faith. And it's really great. So I started there and then started going to see Marianne Williamson speak when she was first speaking, and then got into Wayne Dyer and Stuart Wilde, and then started going to Agape International Spiritual Center out here in LA, and then just kept on with my studies. And then in 2013, my friend Julie and I, who's a celebrity ghostwriter, she lives down the street from me, we started taking a lot of classes in Los Angeles. We took classes on candle magic, on pendulums, we used talking boards, we went to channelers and psychics and connected
candle magic.
Yeah, candle
they
magic.
LA just keeps,
do anything out here, right?
Yeah, you can't.
Then she encouraged me to write my spiritual memoir called The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide to Enlightenment.
I understand the irony of the title, having had my own, studies in the area, but that book is about that's not a memoir.
It is a memoir. It's kind of like a cross between Bridget Jones's Diary and Eat, Pray, Love almost. It's very funny, and I talk about all the different modalities that I tried.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has, you know, that my husband Adolfo, who's a Latin musician, and I'm a wacky redhead. We're like Ricky and Lucy, and he's totally like, no, angels like don't exist, and, you know, you're just imagining it, and you're crazy, and I need to get you some mental help. And I'm like, yes, they do. And so it's pretty funny. But candle magic, so everybody listening, and you, Frank, have done candle magic.
I've done some weird things with candles, that's for sure, but I don't know how magical.
When you were very little, when you...
Yeah.
Had your first birthday cake, and they put the candle there, and they said, Frank, make a wish and blow out the candle. Well, that was candle magic right there.
Making a wish?
Well, yeah, you're using the candle and the fire and harnessing the power and making that wish and blowing out the fire.
And what does that particular ritual do?
Well, you know, we've been doing that for, you know, for centuries or thousands of years. So, you know, it's a focal point. We like to use, fire so, you know, candle magic is really just having an intention. So let's say you want to attract money. You might grab a green candle, maybe put some anointing oil on there, some frankincense or something. And then you might even roll it in some herbs or flowers or whatever. Put a crystal around, a crystal like a citrine, which is very good for manifesting money. And then you'll sit there and you maybe say a prayer, some of Florence Scovel Shinn's affirmations. God is my unfailing supply. I am a money magnet, whatever. And you'll just meditate a little and put out your intention of attracting more abundance into your life. And with the candle, there is a focal point. It's just bringing, kind of harnessing that magic. I think it's so beautiful. I really, you know.
Why doesn't it always work?
Oh, when we're trying to
Any of it. I mean, when, you know, crystals. I remember having someone giving me a crystal a long time ago. And I mean, I've been open to many things, and there's always, you know, and nothing has, why doesn't it work? Why does it work sometimes?
What did you want? What were you trying to do?
At the time, with that?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't, it was, eternal life. They're small. I go right for the top.
Life, Right. Will pop out and go on to somewhere
else. Does it really matter? Okay, tell me more about it. Does it matter what I wanted?
It depends. I mean, and it really depends on you. So you could think, you know, you could really have a low vibration. You can really be down. You can be angry or bitter. And then trying to think of, you know, I want this Mercedes or I want something. And you're not going to get it. And when it's like, if you're thinking of something, it's really, putting that notion of you have the lack of it. Like, I need money. Oh, my bank account is empty. I need money. So you're focusing on that lack that you don't have it. So, you know, you've got to raise your vibrations. You could do that with meditation. You could do yoga, exercise, watch a funny film, go to a comedy club, hug a puppy or a kitten so that you feel real fuzzy and warm, get your vibration up in that place. Then you say your affirmations in that place. You do your spiritual work so that you're up, not when you're down.
Do you recommend to people Florence Shin's books?
I love Florence's books. Abraham Hicks is great too. You know, that I like the channelers. I like that. But you know what I did?
What
really worked was I like scripting. So scripting is writing down. You can get a journal and write down a story of, so when, for example, when I wanted two things. I wanted to be my own boss and I wanted to own a home. Mm-hmm. And I had exactly what I wanted because my boss had made us ladies come to the office with our hair down, looking hot in high heels. And I had this like thin hair that it was better up or short, but he wanted us to look hot. And I really resented that. And so I would write down, I'd say, I just love working from my home office. I'm my own boss and I'm working in my yoga pants with my hair up in a headband and I'm working from my own home in the San Fernando Valley with 3 bedrooms, 2-car garage, fireplace, hardwood floors. My office has an outside view of trees and nature, swimming pool, granite countertops in the kitchen. I listed it all like a story. Like, I just love working there. And Frank, guess where I am? I'm sitting in my home office in my house in the San Fernando Valley with the 3 bedrooms, 2-car garage, granite countertops, hardwood floors, swimming pool. I'm my own boss. I'm sitting in my yoga pants right now, drinking my tea out of a Ouija cup. Out of a mug with a Ouija board on it. So everything came true that I wrote down, and I kept writing it and writing it. So writing down what you want is very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Now here and there, I'm going to play devil's advocate. You understand that, right?
Go ahead.
I don't want you to think I'm being judgmental. Well, because I've had other guests on and they won't come back to me. Never wanted to come back.
They can't take the heat.
Is correct. And, you have to, isn't this there's some psychological stuff going on here too. Beliefs are beliefs, right? I mean, beliefs are things that you might have faith in something, but you really can't prove it. You don't have any empirical, proof. You don't have any figures. You don't have anything. So how do you account for someone who does that and does not get the results? I mean, if you go get a flu shot, they tell you, they say, look, this is, 39% chance. And they give you the math. They give you the science. And you tell somebody, now look, what you go home and write this stuff and just do it and feel good about writing it. And they love to write it and they write it every night and they got a journal and diary. And, and then they wake up one morning with a lump on their neck. So how do you tell, how do you explain to somebody? Because, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is something that if you believe in, you take your own energy, you probably do more, to do something to make your stuff come true. That's psychological, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, now for the flu shots, I don't get the flu shot.
Well, I don't either, but
right,
I mean,
all right.
But I mean, okay. I know somebody who followed Florence Shin and started to believe in it absolutely to the core of his soul. And this was not as a smart person, is not somebody who's just searching for something or what have you. All right. And, It didn't work. It, in fact, now, go ahead.
I was going to say, sometimes, you know, things, there's things that we aren't meant to have.
Well, yeah, but
meant,
okay.
With the time or the timing.
Okay, let's not look at, now you're, if you go to that area of what you just said, that means that there's a predestination, doesn't it? You're not meant.
Well, for example, Frank, you know, I wanted so badly to be an actress. You know, I wanted to make my living as an actress since I was a kid. And I did do, you know, maybe 15, 16 TV commercials. I did different things, but I never did make it all the way. Now, I know some things that I'm a late bloomer, and I really concentrated more on guys, on dating, on relationships more than I should have. On my career, there was a lot of mistakes I did there, but that didn't work out for me, even though I did a lot of affirmations around that and stuff too. So I had, you still have to do your work too. So yes, I have this house, but if I didn't put money in the bank to save for that down payment as well, I couldn't have gotten it too. It's not like it's just fallen out of the clouds here.
Right.
So we have to do our work too on it. So, and then there's timing. Sometimes the universe has something better for us. I did always have, now I always had, I had been writing about a Mini Cooper. I wanted a new Mini Cooper. I never got that Mini Cooper. I could go buy a Mini Cooper. I don't want to make those payments. I don't want to, I'd rather have that money in my retirement account. So, you know, that one didn't, yeah, you know, I was hoping to get like, oh, this big, huge windfall. I'll get a Mini Cooper, but,
well, you did work.
It works for me. I like the scripting. It really, I mean, I could not have. This is what I wanted so badly. I was a woman who didn't go to college. I had no business training. You know, I read, I had a lot of study of taking, you know, classes on my own. And I speak several languages and, you know, I'm smart, but I had no business savvy, flunked general math. Mm-hmm. And I never imagined I could have my own business. And even a house, I thought somehow, I don't know. I thought, oh, that's for other people. They're too expensive in California. But I did have that vision, and I did keep writing it, and it came, worked out perfectly. And,
well, you were just telling yourself that. You were telling yourself to do things. If you want to have a bank account, like you said, if you want to get a house and you put your energy towards getting a house, and people get what? They get jobs or they get money. They try to get a house, and a lot of people do that, and they do it. They don't. There's no magic involved in doing things for yourself. You know, there's. Right? I mean, there's not everybody who is successful has a bunch of crystals in their pockets or writes, or writes every day of how they feel. So what I'm saying is that, that this, you worked for what you have. What is the magical? What's the magical?
But also I do feel that there was other things in play. Because every single thing I wrote down, like I told you, even the hardwood floors and the granite countertop, every single thing was there at a great price that we thought we couldn't afford at first. And the way it happened, because at that time, too, people were snatching up houses, the people that had cash. Now, we didn't have a huge down payment. We didn't have cash to buy a house. That market had tanked all the way to the bottom in 2011, and we put in a bid for a house, and there was 10 other people who wanted it, and somebody would come along with cash and buy it. So we're like, oh, it's never going to work out because either the neighborhood's bad and the house is good, or the house is all crappy and the neighborhood's good.
Well,
you know,
that's just playing the odds. I mean, that's just playing the odds. Those things are going to happen, right?
I kept writing my script, and it all came together. So Florence Scovel Shinn has a lot of examples of how your mind and things play out.
Like, well, she's also very biblical, but she's also very religious, and
remember that one story about that woman who, when she was a little girl, she loved to dress up like a widow. She would put on a black dress and a veil and pretend she was a widow, and then she grew up and married a man, and he died, and then she was a real widow.
Well, there's Brody Murphy too. You remember the famous Brody Murphy story? I've talked about that 100 times. You remember that?
No, Brody Murphy.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, it was back in the 30s or something like that, and she was supposed to be proof of reincarnation. Brody Murphy, this lady who knew everything about this small town in Ireland, and they studied her. She had no connection whatsoever to Ireland, and she learned, and she was talking in Celtic, and all sorts of things. And she had, and the whole world. I mean, this thing was like, everyone went. They said, this is it. Everybody wants to believe this stuff. And they went, and the more research they did, they found out that when she was a little girl, she lived next door to this, in the incredibly old Irish lady who used to tell her stories and tales about the old, where she lived and what have you. And of course, when the younger we are, the easier it is for us to play piano, you know, that whole thing, you know, you learn from that. And, but the first thing everyone wanted to do was to believe that she was this reincarnated soul. There's something in all of us that wants to believe that things we do, that certain things we do, things we do in our own tradition or stuff that we push in a positive way or prayers or everything, that we want to believe it works.
Yeah, well, okay, listen, you want to hear really another magical story? That's a good one. So we move into the house, 2011. We move in like late March. And I had had 7 years prior, you know, the love of my life, a little Yorkshire Terrier named Daphne, and she had died. And so I missed her so much. And then when we moved in, our friends would say, hey, are you, now that you have a house, are you going to get a dog? Are you going to get another dog? And I says, oh, gosh, of course I'd like a dog. But then I thought, you know what? I think I better wait because I never had kids. And so when I have a pet, I'm in all the way. I mean, that's my child. And so I said, I don't want to pick one that might have a bad personality or be the wrong one. So, universe, if you want me to have a dog, then I'll be walking down the street one day and the perfect dog will just be walking down the street. It'll be lost. It'll be a female. It'll be the right size. It'll be the right personality and everything. 3 weeks after I said that, me and my husband had an argument. I said, I'm going to go get some fresh air. I walked a few blocks down on a busy street and at the corner was a little black dog just sitting there on the corner. And I said, who are you? What are you doing? She walked behind me. I picked her up. She licked my cheek. And then I looked around. I saw a woman standing there and I said, hey, is this your dog? And she says, no. And she says, I tried to get that dog to come to me. I was afraid she'd run out in the street and get hit, but she wouldn't come to me, but she went right to you. And I'm pretty insulted because what I do is I rescue animals. I'm a rescuer. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I took her home and tried to find the owner. It wasn't chipped and everything. And 7.5 years later, that's my Macy. She's a female. She's the right size. She is amazing. She knows like 13 tricks. She's so polite, doesn't bark. She's incredible. And I believe that was, orchestrated. And I stated that. I said, if I meant to have a dog, I'll be walking down the street and there'll be one standing there. And that she was.
You know, here's what I don't get though. Okay. So, and believe me, I'm as open as I've ever been, although I'm closing up quickly. Not because of you. Not because of you. No. But the thing is, I could tell stories about things that happened to me. And I've had those things. I think these things happen to everybody. It's things happen to people. Some of them seem incredible because they don't happen a lot. And yet there is a principle called the improbability principle. So things can happen. And they just happen. And a lot of great things happen to people who don't do anything. So when you talk about the universe and asking the universe, and I know this is, what is the universe? It's like, cause you tell everybody, tell someone, well, I'm going to go out there and just be positive. Well, it's fine to be positive. Sometimes you can't be positive and you probably shouldn't because there's no way you could twist your human nature, around. But how do you tell someone, just trust in what?
Well, you know, I'm looking at the full moon right now out my window. It's so beautiful. You know, it's not just positive thinking. Uh-huh. It's being open. It's being open to the magic. We are part of the universe. We came out of the earth. We're part of our cells are made from stardust, right, from the stars that collided and made
This is all science.
Right. We are stars. We are a part of it all, and it's all energy. Every single thing, even a chair, which is very low frequency energy, but it's still vibrating, still energy. Right. So everything's energetic. And so when we we can pull in these experiences. Nobody expects everybody to be happy all the time. Everybody has heartbreak. Everybody loses loved ones or things happen, mm-hmm. or earthquake, or we had floods and fires here. People die. You know, we could just look at the news, all sure. day. There's disasters. But and it gets pretty tough sometimes to keep that frequency up. But we have to do whatever we can to keep that frequency up and just be open to magical. I would rather go through life open to the magic, open to these synchronicities, open to like what's going to happen next,
sure.
who's going to call,
sure.
that email I might get. I got an email from you. Do you want to be on my show? Even little things like that, I get so happy.
Right. Well, because things happen to people, and some good things happen to people without yeah. any particular. I think as humans, I think it's already, this is certainly psychologically proven, and that is we all want to feel that something else is happening. In other words, the human spirit is wonderful. But we don't really want to believe that we're just a grain of sand and that's it. No one wants to believe the things that are proven. People, that's why we have religions, right? That's why the Bible is still there and the greatest book of us all. People don't want to see anything else but what they want to see that is good for them. And that's human nature, right?
Right. That's again looking outside yourself. So if you look at the Bible and then, a lot of people will follow it to the word, to the T, everything that's written in there. Well, I'm like, men wrote that and men compiled it. They
right.
deleted some things. They translated it. I don't think I wouldn't go by every single thing it says in there, but what I do go by is my own guidance system, my own feelings, my own experiences.
Yeah.
So I know that there's been times at night I astral travel, I can feel myself go out of the
Have
body.
You astral I know somebody
yeah,
said they astral,
I astral travel.
Travel.
I feel, when I meditate, I feel my crown chakra open. I can
really.
I've been opened up enough with the energetic attunements to connect with angels. So I've had my experiences. So I go by but everybody's got to go by their own gut, their own feelings, beliefs, and it's individual to them.
But,
Somebody else might be comforted by the Bible.
Right. I'm just using that as obviously.
Right.
As one of the reasons of some people that, and then some people of the Quran or whatever else that
right.
people have written from the past, But do you any demand any explanations? Do you demand any explanations, or do you just go, no, I'm going to accept whatever happens because the universe is what? Is it a big machine that's shooting out things that people like, wait, we connect to it? Like we call somebody in Spain. How do you see it? What do you want explanations? If you want explanations, you shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff.
Well, who knows, really? I mean, it's such a big, that's a huge question. I mean, it's so big and vast, and I'm sure once we cross over ourselves or we'll find out, we'll say, oh, wow, that's how it works. Wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. But
so you believe we're going somewhere.
We have reports from like Anita Morjani, who was riddled with cancer on her deathbed, completely shutting down in a coma. And then she went to the other side in another realm and learned why she'd gotten cancer and came back, and it was completely cancer free.
She
now,
came
and
back.
She speaks and, oh yeah.
She went and came back. She knows she died and came back.
Oh yeah.
How do we know she didn't just have this remarkable thing that went on in her brain
it's all documented. She heard things that the doctors were saying when she was supposed, dead. So she, there's a lot of those, Raymond Moody, he's done a lot of study on, there's so many studies where there's people will die on the operating table or wherever. And then they can repeat the conversations that those doctors or loved ones had.
Well, maybe they didn't die. I'm just saying, it's like, isn't there always like, let's have an explanation. Let's have an
explanation. Hey, it's good to be skeptical. You don't want to just believe anything, anybody says, but I've read a lot of reports and, I do believe that, but it's fascinating. I think it's absolutely fascinating.
I think it's fascinating.
There's a wonderful podcast by Sandra Champlain called We Don't Die. And she interviews tons of people who have gone to the other side or have studied it. People can go and subscribe to that podcast, We Don't Die. And I just love it. I like binge listen to it.
Let me give you what I think is the ultimate request that mm-hmm. I always talk. And I've talked to people who, Jewish people who became, Christians all of a sudden, or people who've had these, bad people who had these incredible experiences and then suddenly turned over and their lives and towards God and the universe or whatever, right? And I always ask one question, I don't know if this is, it's not a matter of being skeptical. It's a matter of this. Why the mystery? Mm-hmm. Why? Are we too stupid as human beings to be able to understand there's an angel and I want to see an angel. Why can't I see an angel? What is the big deal? What is the big deal? Why are there, and I think this is horrible. I think this is terrible that there are special people out there. I had this one fellow who is on radio and him and I have talked and we decided not to talk anymore about spirituality because he thinks I'm nuts because of this, and he believes in this stuff because he had this incredible experience. I've talked to a lot of people who've had these incredible experiences, okay? Life altering experiences. They got into, like you said, I believe in the magic and everything. Why is there magic? Why don't we know this stuff? Why is it we learn science? We learn math. We learn these things. We live our lives. We feel pain. We understand that we all this stuff. But then when it comes to that stuff, it's like, look, you gotta have faith. Screw it! Why do we have to have faith? Are we not good enough for the magic that we have to perform for it? That we have to, why can't it just be there? Why does this person who died get to go to whatever other side is there? But if I go, there's no other side, then the magic goes, we're not going to show it to you then. If you don't believe, it's like, the faith card.
Societies do teach that. There's a spiritual teacher in India that I really like mm-hmm. to listen to. And he said he grew up with this. He grew up on his guru's lap, playing with his beard, doing yoga, learning the mysteries. Our society is not that way. I mean, they've got us on this regiment. They've got fluoride in our water.
Yeah, but even those people are dealing with beliefs. And the only thing I ever found that was really, true and real enough for people, for human beings anywhere, was just Zen. Which if you ask, anytime you get an explanation, you say, okay, what's the meaning of life? Bingo. They give it to you. In other words, it's there and that's it. So why can't you just call up the universe and say, give me an answer? Why do you have to believe in it or wait for it or write down things?
We came down here as humans in this third dimensional reality here to learn to be human, to the human experience. I guess if we knew everything, we wouldn't, why be here, right? We could just kill ourselves and go back to that wonderful realm, right? We're not supposed to do that. So some people have, the pineal gland, the third eye. Mm-hmm. So people who have that open and activated, that's not calcified, they can see the angels and guides and stuff. And we all can't have that. So we've got to try to activate it.
Why?
It's been calcified by fluoride in the water, by GMO foods.
Marla, why? Why? Let's face it. Let's just look at this the way we can without any, it is or it isn't. The thing is, like, why? Can't.
Why? Why can't you see an angel?
Why?
My husband says that. I like to see an angel.
Why can't he?
I haven't seen it either because they're on a very high frequency. The angels are from the.
How do we know that? How do we know that unless we've measured it? How do you measure the high frequency? I don't think these are. I'm not trying to disprove anybody or anything in terms of what they believe or what have you. I'm just asking why am I isolated and tossed on the side And it's like, and I am not privileged. What did I do wrong?
Frank, okay. This is something you can try. You're not isolated. You can start a meditation practice.
I used to meditate.
Hey, you can delve back into all this esoteric magical stuff and you can try it. And, you know, you can get into it and see what happens. And I'd love to hear because once I started delving deeper into it, that's when I astral traveled. Well, I astral traveled as a kid a couple times too. It kind of spontaneously happens, but that's when I have my experiences and connections and when I delve deep into it.
We have very weird things.
Some people's got to have a practice, right? Some people, it just, like James von Prague, he was already seeing dead people or, you know, connecting with the other realms. I know, I'm like, it's not fair. I'm working so hard on my openings, on my spiritual opening, on my ascension. And here he just gets it on a silver platter. Hey, I felt the same way, you know, a lot of times. I'm like, I want to be at that advanced level.
Marlo, what made you, what was the one thing that turned you over? How'd you flip from going, this doesn't work, so this works, this is it, and now I got it?
Oh, well, I don't have it. I'm on my path still. I mean, I have my certain, you know.
Yeah, but what put you on the path? Why continue on the path? What does it for you? Was it just these incidents that happened?
Yeah, it's so much fun. Like when I bought this, so I mean, I'm pretty out there, so if you want to hear these stories, but around Christmas time a few months ago, me and my friend Julie, I said, hey, Julie, let's go out and have some fun. I got this newsletter. There's a party at this woman's house. She's a numerologist. Her name is Gary. We can have a drink and mingle, and she's got crystals. She sells them. Okay, let's go. So we show up at this woman's house. I'd met her once before, and we're wandering around, and she's got all these crystals on the table. And I said, I'm not buying another crystal. I have so many crystals. Last thing I need to do is spend money on crystals. But I spot a beautiful crystal skull, and I'd wanted a crystal skull, and it was gorgeous. It's a geode, and it's agate and clear quartz crystal. Mm-hmm. And I picked it up. It was the only one there. And I looked at the price and I was like, put it right back down. I'm like, I'm not spending this much. And then this other woman came and picked it up, and inside I was screaming, put that down. That's my skull. So she put it down. I grabbed it back up.
I like that.
Yeah, that's my skull. I said to Julie, I think I'm going to get him. I think I'm going to get him. She goes, you're going to get him? Yeah, I'm going to get him. So he was $150, which was really a great price because she was
for a skull, for a crystal skull. Absolutely. $150.
Yeah, it was because, you know, it was.
Why was that yours? Okay, so what happened with it?
Brought it home. It was on a full moon. So I brought it home and I cleansed it with sage. I put some intentions into it. I put him outside in the backyard under the full moon for a few hours, brought him back in. And then I meditated with him. And then I put him next to my bed on the nightstand before I went to sleep. That night, I kid you not, my whole body starts vibrating, which means when it starts vibrating really hard, it means I'm going to astral travel. Left my body, went up in the stars. Through my third eye, I saw the word spelled H-I, hi. Then I saw some sacred geometry patterns. Then I'm back in my bed, in my body. I hear a song in my ears, in my head, like a song on a radio, really loud in my ears. I'm like, what is that song in my radio? I must be picking up some frequencies flying through the air. And then I see through my third eye again, some sacred geometry, some profiles of some faces, and then some hands waving at me. And so that was, my third eye was open there. And I attributed this to Nigel. Oh, and then I went on my talking board and I said, before that, I said, what's your name? And it's spelled Nigel. So I said, okay, your name's Nigel. So that was like a bunch of magic that happened with Nigel, my crystal skull. But now I haven't had any other experiences like that since December.
Well, I went into the stars while they looked in a telescope and I got a star. I got a sty. That's all I got.
I'll bet a lot of your listeners have asked, you know, felt their body kind of floating out, like at night. You could just feel above a little bit or floating. I bet a lot, you know, it happens to a lot of people.
But they don't, what they do. Isn't there supposed to be a danger of with that? Like, could you astral project and then, you go to like some expensive restaurant, run up a bill and then come back and then you get, can that happen? I mean,
some astral restaurant, They say, I've, you know, studied it, and they say, no, you can't get stuck out there, you know.
Okay.
I'm not afraid of it. I think it's fun. But these are things that, you know, have happened to me, but I don't know how to make it happen. I can't, you know, I've tried, but when you try, it just doesn't work. It just like all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of, it's kind of happening, but it's fun. Look, it's doesn't, you know, consume my whole life, but I certainly like to live, with the magical.
You know, I don't know. No, wait a second. I don't understand that, because if I had this, if I went into space, if I went to the stars, and like you said, if I did, if that happened to me, I would feel empowered. I would feel like this is my life. I'm now a star searcher. This is what I do, and I can do anything. And then I try to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel, I die. I mean, it doesn't mean.
But I still have to work for my clients. I still have to pay my bills. I still got to pick up the poop in the backyard for my dog.
And that's what I said. But that's what
I'm a human.
You still have to function and do things. So what is the magic? What did you get? What do you get from that? You go into
the astral project. Wow, just like when I woke up and I told my husband, I said, oh my God, I got to tell you what happened. And then he's like, wow, you know, I'm sure he doesn't.
You need an aspirin, right? He goes and gets an extra power. What does he do?
It's like, oh boy, Marla, that's Marla, you know, she's, you know, cuckoo. But, anyway, you know, once you're kind of into this, the spiritual community, there's so many amazing people that you can connect with at different.
Yeah, but they don't answer questions. They don't answer questions. And I don't know why.
Okay. Very practical guy. What's your sign? When's your birthday?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm okay with not knowing all the answers.
And I don't know what that means either.
I'm okay.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily subscribe to a lot of these things too. One, I'm going to tell you, weird things that happened to me. There was a wonderful guy in LA. I forgot his name, and if I did, I wouldn't mention anything because I don't know where he went. Who was really an astrological reader. I mean, he wasn't like, it wasn't plastic. He wasn't, he was specific to unbelievable. He was unbelievably specific. This was,
right?
Okay. And enough big things happened to me that he predicted by just looking at my real birth chart that he wrote. Okay.
Yeah.
And I couldn't know at the time. I just make a note of this and these things are going to happen. This happened, that happened, this happened. And he was right. He was right about a number of things. Now, what do I take from that? Do I say, well, from now on, I better know what's going on out there, because this this is going to happen to me. It's written. It's written in the stars, as they say. It's all the literature. It's going to happen. Why should I do anything if the universe already has plans for me? Or are these the plans it has? Because if these are the plans it has, then what? Why, you know, then why, again, then why am I persecuted? And why are other people persecuted? You talk about watching the news. You watch the news. Why aren't I one of those people in a city, whatever they are, they're in one of those dilapidated, bombed everyday cities in Syria? Why are you? I mean, I have a lot of questions. And I don't think, and you know, the only questions I get answered in life, or from science and math.
Yeah.
Science and math answer things. So when, and I, you know, I one of my wives, I used to go to a match service. Well, there'll be no more, but one of them was into Reiki and crystals and, it was a Japanese place of furniture. Feng Shui?
Feng Shui.
Right. And all I know about Japan, I don't know how to say feng shui. Things like that attract energy. All this stuff, right? And that was, I didn't do either of us any good. And she really believed in it. I was much like your husband because I could, you know, I knew the parlor tricks too. I knew who was fooling with me or what have you. You know, people, give me three quarters. You have any chains on you? And they get the chains and they go and, you know, they ask questions and get the information. Remember John Edwards?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what? You think he knows what he's talking about?
I don't know about him, but yeah. I mean, my favorite guy is James Von Prague. I listen to him on Hay House. He's got a radio show, and when the people call in, it's unreal, the little things he's right on all the time. But going back to when your friend had told you, predicted, so yeah. If somebody goes to a psychic, because I know a lot of psychics, and I have a podcast called The Mystical Matchmaker and a YouTube show called Cosmic Conversations.
Right, so I want to tell everyone people, right? about it. Yeah,
yeah. So they say that if a psychic is giving you a reading, they're really, you have free will. What they're reading at that moment is your energy at the moment, that energy pattern that's going on in your life at that time.
Isn't free will
that could change? That could change.
So there's nothing predestined.
So if things stay, that kind of what the trajectory that you're on, that energetic pattern and frequency that you're on stays that way, then yeah, maybe, you know, oh, you're going to meet your soulmate in five years.
How do you measure frequency? How do we measure frequency? Is it the way you feel?
I don't know. That might be science, but I have a funny story about feng shui. So it's funny because I was never into the feng shui either, because it's like people would say, don't put dead flowers in your house. Well, I loved dried flowers. And then this obnoxious woman that we knew, had called me up one day and told me, she lived in our apartment building, and she said, well, you have to have your tables are square, you know, your tables are square, and that's, you have to have them round if you want to abundance. And I said, I got so mad. I says, well, you've got round tables and I've got square tables, and I'm much more successful and have more money than you do. So, you know, I was also like, I'm not going to feng shui my house, but I totally understand the flow of energy. And they say, don't leave your toilet seat up, because that means money is going to go down the toilet. And, you know,
don't keep a mirror
facing your bed. Well, our bedroom's small, and my closet is, the doors are all mirror and they're facing the bed, and they say not to do that. Well, what am I going to do? Rearrange, have my house torn down and put things back? And you can't, you know.
Well, why would you care if you could fly in the stars?
I know, exactly. So I understand the idea of feng shui, but I'm not into doing it. That's one thing I'm not going to go do.
So that doesn't work?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm sure there's some benefits to it, and it's good, but I can't handle it. I can't handle doing rearranging my house.
We still have more time, but let's stop here for one moment and just tell everybody where to go, and then on your website, tell them your website and tell them about your YouTube show, and then I want to talk, and then you can talk to me about the book that is on the main page there.
Oh yeah, so come and visit me at marlamartenson.com, marlamartenson.com, and everything's there. My spiritual memoir, The Buddha Made Me Do It, A Field Guide to Enlightenment. It's on my website. It's on Amazon. And I talk about all of these, you know, things that happened to me and the modalities, and as well as some of the matchmaking. If you want to read a funny book about my life as a matchmaker, I have a memoir called Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker. Very fun. And yeah, if you want energy healing, even long distance, if you want an angel reading, I do those, only $15.
What's an angel reading? Do we all have angels?
Okay, this is fun. So yeah. I will channel my angel Mirth, my guardian angel, and I will type up a message. And if you want one, Frank, on the house, I will give you an angel reading.
And, I'd love an angel reading, because I'd like to know what.
And anybody who buys any of my books, just email me the receipt from Amazon. You know,
how do you get it?
And I will give a free angel reading.
Okay, so there you go. Okay, yeah. So what do? You just, what you do, it doesn't matter. What do you, tell me, hey, your angel said this, you get in touch with my angel?
The whole story about how this happened is in my memoir, The Buddha Made Me Do It. I opened up energetically from Reiki, mostly Reiki, and getting energetic attunements and meditation. Frank, I would not have believed this myself. Years ago, not so many years ago, when I'd listen to like Doreen Virtue or these people talking about angels, and the angels say this, and I'm like, come on, you got to be kidding. I thought angels exist, but really, people talk to angels? I really doubted it. Mm-hmm. I really did. I couldn't figure it out. I was like you. How? Why? Well, I can't see any. I can't hear any. How do you do
I
that?
I feel bad for you.
What do you think? Until it happened to me.
Right.
And then, you know what? We really can connect, but there's a process. So you can read about it in there.
Yes. Right. I just want some, you know, the thing is a warning answer is not so I could believe anything. I mean, I think, and now tell me if this is wrong as a human being who walks on this earth and I'm not, you know, I'm not like Jeffrey Dahmer. I didn't do anything really horrible to anybody. Okay. I've been okay. For the most part. Why the mystery? I just don't understand the mystery. There just shouldn't be. I'm thinking like none of us should be wanting for any of this stuff. It should just be there for us if we are, I guess we're not special, I guess, or we have to pick special people. Does everybody go to the other side? I had a lady on once who claimed that there was I don't remember her name, and I wouldn't say it anyway because she hates me now. Because she said that she went to this hotel in somewhere in California. She went into this hotel and she would go into this particular room and it would take her to another time.
Time travel?
I guess so. It would take her somewhere and she also talked to, celebrities. She talked to celebrities, and she had a book out and she had, and I asked her a very simple question. People who are dead, who are on the other side, she talks to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her very simply. So, and she said, everyone's there. And people who are dead, there's no hell. She said, everyone's on the other side and they're making up, you know, they're doing good for bad or whatever they do over there. They're all right. Learning the way that if you're going to. And I asked her, I said, so what about Adolf Hitler?
Uh-huh.
And she said, he's there.
Right.
And I said, did he shave?
Did he shave that hideous mustache?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that was a, did he, and it's like, just like insulting. And in her book, she drew them. I said, they don't allow photos over there? They can't give you photos? I mean, why, how come Jesus comes out of a potato chip bag sometimes? And we have, why is that?
Or in a pancake, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and she, just because I asked these questions, she took it as if like, well, you're just putting me down and you don't believe me. You think I'm a nut. And it's like, well, why can't I ask these questions? I've talked to the universe. I have had some really tough times. For me, they don't, not, you know, people have had tougher times, but I've had some real terrible, debilitating times. People have done things to me or what have you. Okay. That affected me. And I've gone into my backyard and called upon every spirit in the world. I told this to somebody who is special or more special than me because they had an experience. And I said, I went in the backyard and I said, look, I called for the devil. I said, look, if you exist and you want my soul, I got pens, all kind of, pens you use. When you use my blood, let's do it.
Oh boy.
Let's just do it. I'll take it. I'll be here. You can have it. And whatever you do with souls, just take it. Okay. If you're here, now, how many people audition for the devil? You know, nothing happens. And he said, you know why? He said, because you asked.
Oh, well, I don't know. You're braver than me. I wouldn't ask for the devil to come. Oh, man.
Right. Now, okay, so nothing happened.
Right.
Unless I want to believe.
Unless later it's gonna snatch you, Frank.
Nothing happened. This is years ago.
Yeah.
I have gotten through the hardest times in my life by doing the work and things I had to do and keeping track of what's going on and trying to stay healthy. Just regular stuff that people do. I don't think there was anything particularly magic about that. I know a lot of luck. I know I've had luck. And luck is not loyal. It's not even particular. It just happens, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I deserve.
Look, we're all here. We're all on our own path. We're all on different levels of knowledge, of learning, of openness, of readiness. It's all different. So, you know, I just happen to be interested in these hidden mysteries and kind of delve in.
I'm interested too.
I like it. Other people think it's complete hogwash and other people aren't ready for it or only see things if they believe it, if they can see it.
Tell us about the book. Dare I ask you what Buddha made you do?
Well, how do we have 5 or 10 minutes? Because I can.
You do. You have. Yes, we have at least 10.
Okay. Well, this is
I'll be quiet. Just do it now. Go ahead.
So this is magical too. I think everything's magical, but so this one little Buddha statuette changed my whole life. So this is what happened. So when we moved into the house in 2011, I was kind of purging. And I ended up getting rid of this little Buddha, a wooden Buddha statuette that a neighbor had given me. And I don't know why, but, you know, knickknacks. I was just trying to get rid of some stuff. Don't know why, but I took it to the Goodwill. And wouldn't you know, my husband never asked about that Buddha until I got rid of it. And he says, hey, and I just like 2 days after I got rid of it, he says, hey, whatever happened to that Buddha that such and such gave us? And I says, well, gave me, not us, for one thing. It was my Buddha. And I wasn't about to admit that I'd gotten rid of it because Latin temper, I wasn't going to get blasted for giving away something. So I said, it must be in the garage packed from the move. I'll go find it. And so I'm like, oh crap, what am I going to do? So I rushed back over to the Goodwill to try to find this little Buddha statuette. They didn't have it. Must have sold it. And I thought, I've seen them all over Los Angeles. I've seen them in shops. Mm-hmm. I'll just go and buy a new one and replace it. He'll never know the difference. So the days go by every day. Did you find that Buddha? Did you find that Buddha? No, but I'm sure it's in the garage. I'm still looking. And every day I'm out going to a different spiritual bookstore looking for that Buddha. Finally, I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to try. I Googled and I found one more place. And I said, if they don't have one, I'm giving up. This is it. And I told my friend Julie all about what was going on. Mm-hmm. And so I found a place called the Imagine Center in Tarzana on Ventura Boulevard, just like 5 miles from our house. I drove over there, walked in the door, and I asked the gal at the front desk, I said, do you have any Buddhas? And, you know, she says, no, we don't. But go ahead and take a flyer. You know, we have classes and things going on here. So I took a flyer and I noticed that they had classes weekly or every other week classes on connecting with your guides, attracting abundance, crystal healing, only $15 a class. So I called Julie and I said, Julie, I couldn't find a Buddha, but I found this really cool little retail shop that gives classes. Do you want to go? And she goes, sure. So Julie and I start taking classes at the Imagine Center. Loved it. The teacher and owner there, Goddess Tejido, is amazing. We loved it so much we started taking every class that she offered. And one of them ended up being crystal healing, which I found out I could get certified in, which I did. And that led Julie and I off to, we just were having so much fun together. You know, every week, one night a week in the evenings, and she lived very close and my husband works nights. And so we started taking classes. We'd looked up different places in Los Angeles. The Green Man Store had a class on, pendulums, and this other place, Omen Garden, had Nidra Yoga and just different places. We'd take classes, and then Julie brought over a communication board, one night, and that's how we connected with my angel, and we tried all these different things and we just loved it. And so it was, and then Julie, who's a very well-known and accomplished celebrity ghostwriter, author, she said, Marla, why don't you write a book about our, you know, escapades, what we've been delving into, all these things, modalities and stuff. And I said, oh my God, that's a great idea. So Julie's in the book, my husband's in the book, the things with my matchmaking, all of the escapades we did, some of the funny things that happened trying some of these modalities. And so it turned out to be such a fantastic book. I absolutely love it. And it's a spiritual memoir, but that, just that, the fact that that Buddha statue, got me to go on this, you know, dive deeper into my spiritual studies and write this great book. And now, which is my hobby, is all the paranormal stuff and the spiritual stuff. I get to be on cool shows, you know, Coast to Coast AM, sure. Fade to Black. The seance parlor and with Patrick Keller and the big seance and all these fun shows because of these things I delved into in this book. And so just that, the fact that I gave away a Buddha statuette and didn't want my husband to find out put me on this whole different path. And I just find it fascinating that one little thing, follow the breadcrumbs, can lead you and open things up to something you can never imagine.
That's life.
Mm-hmm.
That is life. Hey, let me ask you something. Is the Bodhi tree still open? Did you ever go to the Bodhi?
No, they closed.
I loved that.
Big spiritual hotspot, like in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. I used
Who
to go
knows?
There.
Who knows? We could have actually been in that place at the same time.
I know. Yeah, I used to go there in the 80s and the 90s, and they closed. And now when I was at the Conscious Life Expo 2 years ago, I met the people that were, they said they were reopening. And, but now I see they've just reopened online. So I get their email online. I wish they'd reopen a physical store. I thought they were going to do it.
Too many virtual things.
That was great.
Should be into that though. I mean, they're not, because a lot of the things you're talking about aren't really like, you know, you can't see me, feel me, touch me. These are.
Well, I like going to those, all these cool places because they've got classes, they have meditations, they've got gifts, they've got events. It's fun to meet other like-minded people in person and go and.
Let's go to the services here. We have the last 7 minutes we have here. Go to the service. What else can you do if people get in touch with you? They'll go and buy your books. They can do that at Amazon, right?
Yeah, Amazon. I have Diary of a Beverly Hills Matchmaker, the sequel Hearts on the Line, The Buddha Made Me Do It. I also wrote a short story called Amateur Night that's on there. It's about one fateful night when I was a waitress in Chicago. It was Valentine's. It's a really funny story.
Okay.
They can get matchmaking services, dating coaching, energy work, angel readings. Hey, I'm a Gemini. What can I say? I can do a lot of stuff. But
there's two of you. That's because there's two of you going running around.
There's two of me. There's two of you.
So. You have a blog and on your website?
I have a blog on my website. Yeah. I do YouTube. Look up Marla Martinson. I've Cosmic Conversations. I've got over 300 videos. I interview
Cosmic. Let's go slowly now. Let's get that Cosmic Conversation.
Well, it's Cosmic Conversations, but really it's under my YouTube name is Marla Martinson. That's how you find me on YouTube.
Right.
But everything's at my website, and I started a podcast called The Mystical Matchmaker, which you could get on iTunes and subscribe.
And angel readings, people can write to you.
They can write to me.
And they can just
go. And if you buy one of my books, you'll get a free angel reading. So.
Oh, well, and how am I getting a free reading? How is this going to work out?
I'll do it.
You're just going to do it.
I do is I type it up and I send it to you.
You don't have to know anything.
No.
Nothing.
I don't know. The angels know. I don't know.
No, well, you know,
I don't know anything about you.
So you're not asking, are you asking a certain angel or, I mean, why don't you have to know anything about me at all?
No, I really don't. It's amazing because people will write to me and all I know is their name and usually their location, because when they pay through PayPal, it says where they are. And I just tell my angel, okay, this person's name, connect.
Okay,
and then I channel a message. So they can say, either just give me a general message, what I need to know now, or I want to know about career or romance or whatever. And then it comes through, a message comes through. And I tell you, I always ask for feedback because I'm very curious. I say, did this resonate with you? Did this ring true? They always say
yes.
Wait
a second. Why don't you do it? And then instead of sending it to me or what have you, why don't you come back on the show?
Uh-huh.
And we'll go through it.
Read it.
Yeah, we'll go through it. That should be.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. And who knows? You might, that night afterwards, I may go to the stars or something.
Yes, that's right.
You know, hey, look, you know, who knows, right? So you do that and then we'll be in touch. And then what we'll do is, we got a couple more minutes, and then that'd be a good topic when you come back, and we'll talk about anything else that happened. And I may write up a few things that happened to me I thought were weird. Maybe you could explain it, because nobody else can.
Maybe, but I don't have all the answers either, but I can give you my best insight, and I would love to hear about some of your experience. And you guys, whoever's listening, contact me through my website. I want to hear about your experiences too, because I know it's very interesting. If everyone just thinks a little bit, you can think back to childhood or think back. Everybody's had some kind of mystical experience.
I mean, my entire birth was a mystical experience.
You are magical, Frank. I love you. I love your personality. I love your enthusiasm. I love your curiosity.
Thank you. I don't get a lot of love. Okay, you made me laugh.
Nigel and I are sending you a lot of love tonight.
Oh, Nigel, the crystal skull.
Yeah.
I love it. Actually, I remembered. Nigel, the crystal skull. You know, I'd love to see a picture of him. You don't have a picture of him on your website?
I do. It's not on the website, okay. But I posted one on my, and I have a Facebook group. You guys, if you want to join.
Oh, okay. Let me go to your Facebook. I got to get on your Facebook.
It's called Love Yourself, Love Your Life with Marla Martinson. And I have a group there and I put up videos and I talk about all positive stuff and very uplifting. And I've got Nigel up there right now because I said in the group tonight, I said, I'm putting Nigel under the full moon tonight. And I wanted to know what other people do for full moon rituals.
Now,
is a great time to manifest. It's now, a great time to release.
We didn't plan anything, but remember, you were supposed to be on last week and you said you couldn't. You said you'd do
it. I know.
But you didn't know.
That's magical because I needed to change the time, the day that we did this, and I didn't even know it was going to be a full moon. And it's
That's it. That's what I'm saying. You didn't know, huh? That's magical that there's a full moon there. And, I don't know what that means, but what does that mean?
It's something special.
Well, you're a special guest, and that I have no. Yeah, I don't know, but I think you're. I think you're doing. You're so filled with energy. I can't even start an argument. Well, I wouldn't argue about this stuff anyway, right? It's ridiculous.
I don't argue. I mean, look,
and I'm not close.
I respect everyone's own opinion and everyone's own journey, so I don't wouldn't argue with anybody.
Maybe I should have Adolfo on one of these weeks.
Oh, no! You know what happened, Adolfo? You know, Coast to Coast AM and George Noory.
Yeah, George, okay. I know George, yeah.
So George had me on. The last time George had me on, he was talking about my new book, and Adolfo and George are very good friends. And that's how I met George. And so we went into the studio, which is like 5 miles from our house. And he says, yeah, bring Adolfo. He brings Adolfo on the show in front of like 4 million people and says, Adolfo, what do you think about Marla's, spiritual escapades and stuff? And Adolfo was like, on the air. Oh, I think she needs help. They ambushed me. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to strangle them both.
See, I would never say that. What I would say is if she needs help, she knows where to get it.
My mother, she calls me the next day. I'm going to kill George.
Thank you so much for this. So look at how quickly it went, right?
It's so much fun.
Thank you so much. I just had a sense that you'd be one of the rare people from Jiggy's place that would be good. And I was right. So you do that angel thing and we'll be in touch and we'll figure out when to be on here again. Okay. And,
all right. Much love. Bye everybody.
Stay well and, we'll be in touch. Thank you, Marla.
Bye.
Marla's gone. Marla's gone, but the full moon's still here. Is it time to move? It's almost time to move on. You know who's coming up next if you're listening to this thing here. Yes, we've got to hit this. And then get myself some rain. Oh, wow. Thank you, Marla. Where is she? Thank you. What happened here? Where's my thing? You're welcome. I can't even type it. Welcome. There you go. Okay. What are we doing? We're moving on is what we're doing. Those of you who listen live, of course, I told you what to do. Just listen. Keep listening. And you'll get Savino Veritas. The rest of you, you know how to get in touch with me or what to do. Next week we'll do whatever we're going to do. Again, it's ad hoc and all the way, everyone. Yeah, let me just tell Mr. Savino that it's time. Those of you listening live, just go right into him. He's going to go right into there. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. See what I'm doing? Yeah. Okay, that's... My name is Frank Catolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Tonight I'm wearing Rain-Kissed Leaves Body Lotion for all you people. That'd be fun. And good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. And we've done a lot of talking about this, that, and the other thing, and that's the other thing at all. I'll leave you now until next time because I have nothing more to say.